So, thank you all for coming. Today's class is a beautiful Bhagavatam by Krishna Bhaktivedanta Vyas. First canto, 5th chapter, 13th verse. After that wonderful kirtan. So, like I said, it's nice to let the time drive occasionally. He just really whips it up, doesn't he? That's really sweet. Atho Tamaha Bhaga Bhavan Amoga Drik Suchi Shravaha Satya Rato Drita Vrata Urukram. Didn't we do this one? Uru-prama-sya-kila kila vandha muktaye samadhina-sumara tad-vicheshtitam
ato-maha-bhaga-bhavan-murga-drik
Suchi Shravaha Satya Vato Vritta Vrataha Guru Pramasya Dila Vanda Muktaye Sam Samahinas Samahinusmara Tadhi Cheshtitam Ato Mahabhaga Bhavan Mogadri Shravaha Satya Vrata Vritta Vrataha Guru Pramasya Kila Vanda Muktaye Samadhina Sumara Thadya Cheshtitam of one who performs supernatural activities.
When you perform supernatural activities.
God.
Akila.
Universal.
Bandha.
Bondage.
Muktaye.
For liberation from. Samadhina. By trance. Anushmara. Think repeatedly. And then describe them. Tadvicheshtitam.
Various pastimes of the Lord.
Translation. O Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You are firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. So I say you can repeat. O Vyasadeva,
O Vyasadeva,
your vision is completely perfect.
Your vision is completely perfect.
Your good fame is spotless.
You are firm in vow.
And situated in truthfulness.
And thus you can think.
Of the pastimes of the Lord.
In trance.
For the liberation of the people in general.
From all material bondage.
Purport as divine grace from A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. People in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. They want to hear and read from the authorities something about the unknown, but their taste is exploited by unfortunate literatures which are full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. Such literatures contain different kinds of mundane poems and philosophical speculations, more or less under the influence of Maya, ending in sense gratification. These literatures, although worthless in the true sense of the term, are variously decorated to attract the attention of the less intelligent men. Thus the attracted living entities are more and more entangled in material bondage without hope of liberation for thousands and thousands of generations. Sri Narada Rishi, being the best amongst the Vaishnavas, is compassionate towards such unfortunate victims of worthless literature. And thus, he advises Sri Vyasadeva to compare transcendental literature, which is not only attractive, but can also actually bring liberation from all kinds of bondage. Srila Vyasadeva or his representatives are qualified because they are rightly trained to see things in true perspective. Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives are pure in thought due to their spiritual enlightenment, fixed in their vows due to their devotional service, and determined to deliver the fallen souls rotting in the material activities. The fallen souls are very eager to receive novel information every day. And the transcendentalists like Vyasadeva or Narada can supply such eager people in general with unlimited news from the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the material world is only a part of the whole creation and that this earth is only a fragment of the whole material world. There are thousands and thousands of literary men all over the world, and they have created many, many thousands of literary works for the information of people in general for thousands and thousands of years. Unfortunately, none of them have brought peace and tranquility on the earth. This is due to a spiritual vacuum in those literatures. Therefore, the Vedic literatures, especially the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, are specifically recommended to suffering humanity to bring about the desired effect of liberation from the pains of material civilization, which is eating the vital part of human energy. The Bhagavad Gita is the spoken message of the Lord recorded, the Lord himself recorded by Vyasadeva, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental narration of the activities of the same Lord Krishna, which alone can satisfy hankering desires of the living being for eternal peace and liberation from miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is meant for all living beings all over the universe for total liberation from all kinds of material bondage. Such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls like Vyasadeva and his bona fide representatives who are completely merged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Only to such devotees do the pastimes of the Lord and their transcendental nature become automatically manifest by dint of devotional service. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord, even if they speculate on the subject for many, many years. The descriptions of the Bhagavatam are so precise and accurate that whatever has been predicted in this great literature about 5,000 years ago is now exactly happening. Therefore, the vision of the author comprehends past, present, and future. Such liberated persons as Vyasadeva are perfect not only by power of vision and wisdom, but also in all perception, in thinking, feeling, and all other sense activities. A liberated person possesses perfect senses, and with perfect senses only can one serve the sense proprietor, Rishikesh, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the perfect description of all perfect personality of Godhead by the all perfect personality Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. Om Agyanti Marindasya Pinanjanan Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Vena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadam Kakam Pancha Kalpa Turuvyas Chakrita Sindhu Vena Cha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Really sweet. It's amazing how it all fits together. These last several verses have been describing how basically we don't need any other literatures. We don't need these material literatures. We need spiritual literatures to enlighten us. You see. So much time is being wasted. So much, just think of the paper, the number of trees that are chopped. Paper made to make these useless books. When you think of the great libraries, there are libraries that are so big they take up a whole city block. You see? And they're filled with books. All of them are useless. Now there may be some that can help you fix your lawnmower or fix your car. There may be some that might apply to some of your day-to-day activities. But basically they're useless poems and made-up stories of fictitious characters coming out of someone's mind. Useless, you see. Sometimes when you're in the store and you walk by this a rack full of novels, you'll see them sometimes. They'll have them on special. And you notice they have colorful covers. Very love novels with very beautiful people embracing. And the wind's blowing their hair. The seascape in the back, or a mountain, whatever, you see. You know, it's Maya. This packaging, Maya. Come, take this book. Experience what these people are experiencing. You can be like them in your mind. You see? Come take an imaginary trip. And people It's amazing the number of people, the percentage of people who delight in this. It's delightful. If you have no literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and if you're not interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness, then these literatures may be appropriate to involve your mind, in useless activities, you see. If you have nothing, then sometimes nothing is appealing. Sometimes if you don't have any literatures really worth reading, it's amazing how easily you can be pleased. Because it says here, people in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. By instinct, you have a taste for literatures. So people are looking for stuff to read. It's by instinct. They have this tendency to read stuff. They want something to read. Therefore, book distribution. Let's give them something to read. My dear sir, are you into yoga? Take this yoga book. This is very nice. Whatever, Navadvipa who can fill you in on some Dr. Paul, some good lines that they've come up with to get people's attention. Keep in mind, you book distributors, and you book distributors soon to be, people have an instinct. They have a taste for literatures by instinct. They're looking for something to read. You give somebody, when somebody goes to a doctor's office, the doctor always schedules you, he'll say, be here at 2 o'clock. So you show up at 2 o'clock, you're not going to get in to see him at 2 o'clock. You're going to sit there for half hour, 45 minutes, hour and a half. So they have some useless magazines piled on the table, and they're usually 2 years old. Time magazine from 2 years ago, or whatever this is. So it's old news. Excuse me. But what do people do? They pick them up and start to read them. It's an instinct. People like to read stuff. They like it. You see? What we're trying to do is to give them something worthwhile to read. You see? This is a similar verse here. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general and free them from all material bondage. So I can give you a book that will occupy your mind for a few minutes or maybe an hour or so, or I can give you a book that can liberate you from material bondage. Now, the unfortunate thing is the average person, many of them, don't realize that they're ready for subject literature, subjects like this, liberation from material bondage. If you're a book distributor and you're standing out in the lot and people walk by and you say, sir, excuse me, yeah, how are you today? How would you like a book that will liberate you from material bondage? They're probably not going to know what you're talking about. I'm not bonded. What are you talking about? What are you, crazy? Security? Really, this guy is a madman, you see. They're not so much looking for liberation from material bondage. What are they looking for? Yeah, they're looking to gratify these senses. I'm on my way into the store and I want to get some goodies. Or I'm on my way out of the store, I just bought some goodies, and I'm going to go home and enjoy. You see? So, if you're at the mall, and people are on their way out with their new clothes or whatever, can't wait to get home and try on my new duds. That's not a good thing.
No, it's not that. When I was in the hospital, my roommate was there.
Just give me ice cream and marshmallows. I guess after that, he felt like he had lost face. try it. Huh? Yeah, he must have been dropped at work. So, yeah, he's not thinking, wow, I was almost killed. I was just shot in the face. I need something to help me come to some realization. I need to get out of material bondage. He's not thinking that. Wow, is there something you can tell me about God? Because I just almost went to see God, you know, so I was almost killed. You know, give me ice cream with marshmallows. So, the simple mind is so easily satisfied sometimes, you see. So the duty of the devotee is to stir things up. We need to get them thinking. We need to become expert at getting them thinking. When you're distributing books, you don't have time to stand there and preach. You get the book out. Prabhupada says, quote, I'm quoting Prabhupada, what is the use of your 2 minutes of preaching? Give them the book and get them to go on. You see? Spend that 2 minutes preaching getting someone else to get a book out. Now, if someone is very interested, you might spend some time with them. Invite them to the temple. You see? Make friends with them. Give them some, make sure that they know in the book, bring them some card or something about us, about Govinda's, the temple. You know, tell them, you whet their appetite a little bit. Tell them to read the book, read through the book, whatever, and come see us. Come see us. We're open every day. No cover charge. Come on in. See? So, best that we don't spend that time out there. Hey, let me tell you about this, but you get the books sailing, get them off, get them in as many hands as you possibly can. See? You might give them a little something, make them curious to read the book. Somehow or other, devise something like, wait till you see, wait till you read this. This is going to knock you over. This is amazing. It's truly amazing. Something like that. Make them think, oh, I need to look through this. Yeah, just scan it at least and see what you think. If they scan the book, they're going to find something that's going to attract them. You can't go very far. Let's see. And Prabhupada is demonstrating here in this the expertise of Srila Prabhupada that never ceases to amaze. The most incredible writer of all time. The subject matter here is about reading useless books. You know, Narada Muni is telling Srila Vyasadeva that the reason why you're feeling so unsettled and unsatisfied is because you've given people something that's useless. Because the only useful thing is the subject matter that will take you back to Godhead, that will give you liberation from material bondage. The pastimes of the Lord, you see. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And then, as Prabhupada wrote this elaborate purport, just see the writing here. It's entertaining just to read this. Prabhupada makes his point again and again and again throughout this in such an expert way. It's a pleasure to read it, you see. You can see how you can derive pleasure from reading Srimad Bhagavatam. When we're finished with this, when I finished reading this, I heard everyone go, wow. Now, what can you read out there that'll make you wow? What is it? You see. So, we have this literature. It does really, really work. It'll satisfy every desire you have for reading. It's this instinct we have to read stuff. We're curious to read stuff. If you're ever around and there's literature of some kind laying around, you ever notice you have a tendency to just pick it up and start thumbing through it? People do that, you know. They just start. So we have this instinct here, Prabhupada says. So let's engage this instinct in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is so vast, and there's so much philosophy included in Srimad Bhagavatam, that in our lifetime, it's not likely that we're going to memorize every bit of it, you see, and that it becomes old. It's transcendental. It's always going to be sweet anyway. But there's so much of it that we're not going to become bored by reading. You can read it again and again and again. By the time you read it all the way through and start reading it again, you'll get realizations that you never had before. Bhagavad Gita is like that. You know, I mean, when you think of how many times have you read Bhagavad Gita over the year, how many? Again and again and again. You lose count. And still, it's fresh. It's fresh. You may recognize the verse, you've got a verse memorized, but as you go through the purport, the verse and the purport together, suddenly you get new realizations. And I swear sometimes I've read and I think, I don't remember this ever being here. When I was in Govardhan one year, several years ago, I spent a month in Govardhan with Keshava Bharti Maharaj. And I decided that I was going to read the Bhagavad Gita over and over and over. Chant 32 rounds a day and read the Bhagavad Gita over and over and over and just be in Govardhan, you know. Things are easier in Govardhan. So I read the Bhagavad Gita and then started reading it like a week later again. And I swear I came across things that I thought, I don't remember that being there last time I read it. Or ever before. You know, in all these years, reading it again and again, it's always fresh. What to speak of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, you see. So, my point is, we have plenty, emphasis on plenty to read. You see, we're not needing anything to read. Our instinct to read is taken care of. We're covered. No, thank you. I'm good. You know, when we go to the store and we walk past the novel aisle, we don't need the novels. You know, we read reality. This is real. The pastimes of Krishna are real. We've got the adventure, the heroic episodes of Krishna's pastimes. We've got everything that they try to stick into the novels. We've got love stories, heroism, you name it, adventure, everything. It's there at our fingertips. So we need to spend whatever spare time we have, read. When you get a moment or two, read. I really like these new iPads and things like the Kindle, because you can take all of Prabhupada's books and put them in some little thing and carry them with you, the whole thing. And I can do that in my computer, but it's different when you have to fire the computer up and wait for it to load and do this whole thing. And it's kind of bigger. But these smaller apparatuses for reading are really appealing. I'm going to get one, because to have Prabhupada's books with you, always. I mean, it's rare that we get that we have time anyway. When's the last time you had some just time on your hands, Father Sanami? Huh? Okay. Good. I pray that you get it. But, yeah, it's rare that we have that time. But if you do, it's nice to be able to reach in your pocket and pull out something you can read Prabhupada's books. I think that's very, very good idea. So I'm going to see if it's practical, you know, to carry around. At least have it with me in my van and places like that. But at least the devotee should be dedicated to reading as much as possible. Hmm? You read it, it goes in your ears. So whatever you put in your head, ultimately, if you put enough of it in, it'll start to come out of your mouth. You know? It'll start to talk about it. You see? Now, remember, if you put garbage in your head, then garbage will come out of your mouth. You'll start talking about the latest conspiracy theory. you know, or whatever. I don't know about you. I think I do. I don't think we have time to discuss those things. You see, like if you get time, you can read Srimad Bhagavatam or discuss Krishna's pastimes. Do we really have time to go into this subject matter that a lot of people like to talk about? I mean, I'm amazed at the number of devotees that like to talk about the Illuminati and all the stuff that's going on. What is it? What good does that do you? You know, if you listen to it, you now it's in your head. Now your head's contaminated. You see? And now sooner or later, you're going to be telling it to somebody. Somebody will say something that will remind you, yeah. So-and-so Prabhu, he was telling me that the Illuminati wanted to enslave us all and control all the blah, 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 blah. Bark, 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 bark. Meow, meow, meow. Useless. Why are we not concerned? Because Krishna's in control. Krishna is our protector. He will always take care of us. We are not the slightest bit concerned what these fools do. We can't really turn it around anyway. We can distribute books. We can make devotees. We can give people information on how to go back to Godhead. Whatever's going to go on, whatever conspiracies are going to happen in the world, they're going to be there. There have always been conspiracies, and there always will be. That doesn't affect us. We still have our mission. Our mission is to make as many devotees as we possibly can. You see? And the fulfillment of people's interest, it's like Vyasadeva. He's not feeling fulfilled because he's compiled all this literature, and now he feels a void. And it's because he hasn't covered the pastimes of the Lord. He hasn't glorified the Lord. But he's covered everything else. You see? So, I mean, this is pretty clear. What makes us think that, well, Vyasadeva, he didn't get satisfied, but I will. I can read some trashy literatures and useless stuff, and I'll be satisfied. You know, I can do it. Just because nobody else has been able to do it doesn't mean I can't do it. So, we have to keep this in mind. We read as much as we can, distribute as much as we can, and get as many people to start chanting Hare Krishna and coming to associate with us as we possibly can. Are there any questions or comments at this point? Yes, no, please.
Yes, please. I just heard that Srila Prabhupada's son, he was in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So the Prabhupada is the best way. He used to read 4 hours a day. And the second thing is, I just read that, as far as the Bhagavatam is concerned, that it's not, as I said, it's not chronological. That it's taking place in different planets and also in different universes. And some of the presentations are presented to the three dimensional perspective.
Yeah, it's basically to fully understand the whole concept of Srimad Bhagavatam is over our head. For instance, Prabhupada says in the fifth canto, when he starts to describe the planetary system, you will not understand. But still, you should read it. You know, to understand how that, when you read it, to picture the universe is just over our heads, kind of fries our brain. Still, we should read it. So therefore, Prabhupada wanted this planetarium, this temple of Vedic planetarium, so that somehow or other this could come together. And if you see it, to read it and visualize it is very difficult. But when you see it and then read it, then you can get a better concept of it. So, yeah, it's not chronological. And for that reason, you don't have to read it through. You don't have to start in the first chapter and go all the way through. It's not really necessary. We shouldn't jump to the 10th canto and start reading the 10th canto. But anytime you can pick any Bhagavatam off the shelf, just take any one and open it up and read. You know, what if you open to this verse here? That purport alone is, that'll give you the entertainment that you want. It'll give you the spiritual upliftment that you're seeking. You see? So no matter where you open, it's kind of fun to do that. However, it's also very much fun to start the beginning and read all the way through. That's also very nice. But you're not limited to that. You can just read a verse or two or a chapter. You see? And it each verse is separate in and of itself. It has its own message. You don't need the whole chapter. It doesn't have to be in sequence. Yes, Dr. Paul?
Do you have a recommendation for what you should read?
Yes.
Like,
First, get familiar, and I mean familiar, with Bhagavad Gita before you read anything else. That means, oh, so-and-so who's got this new book, and oh, this is the Bhakta Handbook. Before you do anything, get familiar with Bhagavad Gita. Get to understand it. You see. So then you can move on to other reading. First, get into Bhagavad Gita. That'll help your preaching more than anything. Okay, that'll get you started. And then move into Bhagavatam. Go through the Bhagavatam. At that time, you can read a Bhakta handbook or something. There are many nice books there to help. But in the beginning, focus on Bhagavatam. That gives you the philosophy. It gives you an understanding of who we are and what we're all about. What does Krishna want? It really gives you everything. In a concise form. So once you've digested the Bhagavad Gita, then as you read Srimad Bhagavatam, then you're getting the philosophy splayed, it's spread out, and each part of it is focused on it. You see? So it's like a treat after you read the Bhagavad Gita. That's what I recommend. Yes, Mother?
Can you encourage us a little bit, like that you've been here now for a month, so we're like kind of used to you being here, and a lot of times the devotees will say, when I start, there's this program, and it's Jivananda, we're going, Jivananda, we're going, if he's going, then I'm going, and then you're gone, and there's no going anymore. So how
yeah.
Do we keep our enthusiasm to hear a chant when there's just, you know, less people, and there's not a luminous, not a luminary, but
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. Thank you for reminding, because I was thinking about that again and again. I keep forgetting it. So, that's why we need each other to help fill in the blanks that we each forget. But yeah, it's sad to think. You know, I've always thought that this is the way you guys are. This is the way the temple is, you know. And so when I'm gone, I'm picturing the temple vibrant and everybody's here. And, you know, I think, wow, all this energy and everybody's eager to serve. But then I hear that, well, no, it kind of winds down a little bit. And I'm thinking, well, that's not good. You know, why can't it be like this? Why can't it be like all of us getting... This is my picture of the temple. I don't want to imagine the temple when it's not. And people aren't enthusiastic, you know. And we shouldn't say, "Well, I'll go if so and so is going." No, we each have a duty to be the association. You know, you may say, "Well, I don't want to go to this event because there's not much association." You go and you be the association. That was my order when I was a bhakta before I was. You go be the association. You know, we didn't say, well, who's going to be up? You're going to be there. You go be the association. Be the association for others. You know, And some people complain. Oh, well, there's not much. I don't know if I'll go because there's not going to be much going on. You know, we need to change. You know, Gandhi says, be the change that you want to see in the world. Be it yourself. You do it. If we just talk about it, it won't happen. Then we're just like a bunch of old crows and we're all talking. Useless. You see? No. Do it. If you have a concept in your mind that, boy, what this temple needs is this, man, don't let us get in your way, right, Brother Sundami? Please. I know I'm big, but I'll move out of your way. Then do it. Love ideas. Ideas are so sweet. Action is really a lot better. You know? Isn't it better? You know, like when you see somebody and they've done something fantastic and you say, wait, wow, what did you do? Well, this was some idea that I had. I said, well, that's fantastic. Rather than a complaint or an idea. I have an idea. Oh, okay, that's great. And then another idea. And then another idea. No. Action. Do the action. That'll get attention. Wow, what did you do? When did you get that idea? Then I want to hear this idea. You know, tell me all about this concept. If you have a complaint, first of all, come up with a solution. If you have a complaint, if something's not up to your standard, then how should it be? You see? Develop a solution. I've seen that. I've seen expert devotees do like that. When I was temple president years ago in Dallas, we had some older Prabhupada disciples were there. Abhi Ram Prabhu was there. Abhi Ram Prabhu had a lot of personal training by Srila Prabhupada. So he was a good example. So he came to me one day, came to my office, and he said, do you have a few minutes? And I said, well, sure, please. You see, He said, I'd like to talk. He said, I'd like to get your opinion on something. Follow what an expert does. Someone trained by a qualified person. I'd like to get your opinion on something. Oh, what's that? I've got this concept that for serve out, when we serve out, rather than having people crowd around the table and kind of help themselves, like we were taught in India, if we could all just get them to sit down. I already have three people that have volunteered to help me do this, if you approve. Just get them to sit down and you'll serve them out. They'll go quicker and it'll be much better. What do you think? And I said, well, that sounds wonderful. Make it happen. Great, you know. He didn't come in and say, well, it comes time for prasadam. Everybody's crowding around and it's this and that. Boo, boo, boo. He didn't even complain. He didn't even say, we have a problem. He came in and asked me if we could do something different. Where was the complaint? It didn't take place. There was no complaint. There was a solution. And it had already been examined and thought through, not just something emotional, but, you know, we ought to do more of this around here. If we ought to do more of this around here, do more of this around here. Don't let us get in your way. If we're in your way, I'm speaking for Mother Sundamini, if we're in your way, you have our permission, push us aside. Give us a shove to get us out of your way. Do it. And don't let things slow down, you know. That's not pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, it's not pleasing to Mother Sundamini, it's not pleasing to me, it's not pleasing to you to let things slow down. Increase. It should increase. You know, people say, oh, when you come you give energy. All right, then where's the energy when I'm gone? You know, keep it spinning. Keep it going. Increase. So it should be better if that's true. I'm not saying it is, but if what people tell me is true, then it should be more energetic when I leave than it was before I came. Am I making sense? I mean, this is just logic to me. So, let's kick it up a notch. We should always do that with ourselves. Kick it up. Who used to say that? There was a cook that used to say that. Famous cook.
Yeah.
When he would add cayenne, he would say, no, you've got to kick it up a notch. So, bam. So, bam it, you know? Kick it up a notch. We should do that to ourselves. You know, I try to do that to myself from time to time. Sometimes I'll find myself feeling a little complacent. I'll say, look, we're going to do this. We're going to do more of this and more of this and more of that. Boss, that's it. Let's see. We're going to raise the bar. We're going to kick it up a notch. You know, we have to do that to ourselves because we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. You see? None of us wants to stay complacent. We don't want to stay. I mean, picture, do you want to stay right where you are right now in your Krishna consciousness? If you could just freeze it right now, is this enough? You got enough? No. We want more, right? So, kick it up a notch. And don't let your mind say, oh, well, this problem, I have this problem. No, we're going to do it. We're going to read more. We're going to preach more. We're going to think of more ways to preach. We're going to attend the programs. And we're going to wind this temple up and make it happen. We're going to promote the restaurant. We want to see that someday it would be impossible to find somebody in Tucson that's never heard of Govindas. And then we want to make it impossible to find somebody in Tucson that's never been to Govindas. You see what I mean? It should really just really confuse, but it confuses me. How is it that we're here? We've got this great restaurant. I mean, this is really fantastic. We all love it, don't we? This is fabulous. How is it that there are people in this town that have never heard of us? Because it's so great. Well, because we're not telling enough people. You know, I don't know. We should spend more time thinking, how can we promote this community? The restaurant, especially, and the community that's attached to it. We need to get them to Sunday feast. We need to get them to programs. If we're not coming to programs, if we don't go to home programs or organize home programs, how can we expect the fallen conditioned souls to show up? You know? I mean, when are we going to do it? Maybe we're going to appear through a Skype teleconference. You know, we let the fallen conditioned souls show up, and one of us, instead of going to the program, will Skype it. You know, no. If we want to get people to be eager and assertive to come here, then we've got to be eager. You see? And if we show up, all of us together, and nobody else shows up, well, that's pretty nice. It's just all of us family right now, and this is nice, isn't it? This is sweet. So, even if the non-devotees don't come, we have each other. But if we associate together and promote together, we'll get them to come. It's just like some temples I go to. I'm not going to mention any names. I really want to, but I'm not going to. I notice that the devotees don't go to Sunday feast. One, two. You know, a huge temple. It's like just a few devotees here. And you can think of like 30 people that live like right there. They're not at Sunday feast. And you think, why? I mean, Srila Prabhupada started this out, the Sunday feast program. The Sunday love feast was a treat for us and for everybody that came. It was like nobody would miss the Sunday feast. You see? So it should be that way with every program. If there's a program, unless you have service that would that you would leave a great void if you abandon. You don't want to abandon your service. But if you can possibly do it, be part of it. You see. Always have the scope of what we're doing here should always be too big for us to handle. Just barely. We can just barely make it happen. You see. We need to do like that. I have a tendency to overplan things. You know. Because I feel like if I'm not doing something, then it's like an offense to Srila Prabhupada. You know, I can't remember the last time, I mean, I really can't remember the last time that I was just like, wow, what am I going to do? What am I going to do today? You know, it's always more than I can get done. It's a struggle. Get done what I need to do, meet with the people that I need to, and to return the phone calls that I have to return the emails that I have to, and now the texts are coming in. There's always texts to come. So much communication, preaching, there's so much to do, you see, and that's good. I'm not complaining, I'm glad, you see. So we should have a full day every day. I mean, you're going to have to rest once in a while, okay? Emphasis on once in a while. It's like we're hoping Melissa and Dominic can get some time today. And all of us need that from time to time. Monday's probably a good day to catch up on a lot of things for the rest of us. But the rest of the time, push yourself as much as you can. You'll love the taste. You'll hate the taste of not having a lot to do in Christian service. You will not like that. I promise you, you will not like it. Because your mind will fill itself with some other kind of nonsense activity if you're not doing devotional service. So, does that make any sense? Any more questions? Comments? So don't let it wind down. I wasn't aware of it when I left that things got that way, so please don't. I beg you, please don't allow that. Keep it going. Keep it vibrant. And that way, every time we get together, it'll be more and more vibrant. And we'll be bringing more and more people here. And work together with one another with respect. Prabhupada said, with love and trust. You can't have love and trust without respect. You can't have respect for one another. You know, look after each other. You see? We've got to provide that. And we can. We can provide a community that the whole world would want to live in. But before we attract people here, we need a working model. People need to come here and see how you relate with you and with you. And they say, wow, I really like the love that these people have for one another. I'd like to be part of this. I want to be like them. You know? Not like, well, you know, I read the book, and I don't see anything in this book in the way you guys are behaving. Don't let that happen. No quarrels or anything. It's nothing. If you have problems like that, if you see problems, make them go away. Live happy and harmonious, and you will attract other people to do the same. Very simple. So, all right. Thank you all so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.